Good afternoon, folks, and welcome to Alaska Gold Trails. I'm your host, Jim Madonna, from the University of Alaska Fairbanks Mining Extension. This is your radio show on mining in Alaska, past, present, and future. More specifically, folks, gold mining in Alaska's misty past, controversial present, and mysterious future. I'll be with you here on KFAR 660 on your radio dial each Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., where we can discuss the entire spectrum of mining in Alaska, from the fascinating and colorful history of the major and minor gold rushes to the most recent gold prospecting and mining techniques. Most of all, my friends, give us a call if you have a question or care to make a comment on mining in Alaska. We would especially like to hear from some of you early pioneers. I know many of you must have some fascinating stories that perhaps you wouldn't mind sharing with us. So if you just want to chat for a few minutes or want to share one of your favorite frontier experiences, give us a call. The number is 479-TALK. That's 479-8255. Let's talk gold mining through the years along Alaska Gold Trails. When you think about jewelry, you think about quality, and of course that aesthetic style of beauty. And when you want quality, you always think about Larson's Jewelry, located at 4th and Noble. That's where you can rely on quality and originality, whether you're looking for a wedding, for wedding rings and bands, or a special piece for that special person. Larson's Jewelry has been in business since 1946, and they offer a full jewelry and goldsmithing service. That means they can take raw gold and create rings, bracelets, necklaces, and earrings right on the spot, and in a design of your choice. Larson's can also add diamonds, rubies, sapphires, or other gemstones from their large inventory to your new or existing jewelry piece. They can repair and rebuild jewelry, including shanks, loops, and chains. It's a comfortable feeling when you know you're getting quality as well as value. At Larson's Jewelry, they have a fine selection of silver sets and crystal that's sure, with time, to become a family treasure. And for a special gift that will be long remembered, they now have a new glass etching and engraving service. But listen, Larson's is more than just a jewelry store. Their wide selection of beautiful trophies and plaques can be personalized to commemorate a special occasion or achievement. For your safety and peace of mind, Larson's also has a complete locksmithing service, including installation and servicing of all types of locks and safes. For anything you need, they have it on hand. Just remember, Larson's can, located at 4th and Noble, open 9 to 6 weekdays, 9 to 5 Saturdays. Visit today or give them a call at 456-4141. My, we have a fascinating program for you today, folks, and right away we've got somebody on the phone line. Hello, you're on the air.
Like the AIDS virus, these
destructive... Sounds like we got two of them mixed up.
...what might be called the immune response.
Seems that we have.
Computer is programmed.
Let me see if I can correct this.
The virus overpowers this immunity and instructs the machine...
Well, unfortunately, I'm having some difficulty getting the radio off the phone line here, so I guess we won't be able to get the phone lines to work properly. Let's try it one more time.
Hey, I just wired. Do you record programs and give them to the oral history department up there?
Eventually I will, and I guess we can talk over the sound of the background. Yeah, eventually I'll make these available to the archives there at the University of Alaska.
Yeah. Okay, well, I just wanted to put a word in for it, because that's nice, because, you know, 50, 60 years from now, this will be priceless.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, you got a good point there.
Okay, well, thank you.
Well, thanks for the call, sir. Today, folks, I've got a real special guest, Johnny Miskovich from Flat, Alaska, sitting in the studio with me, and I want to welcome Johnny Miskovich. How you doing today, Johnny, and thanks for being on Alaska Gold Trails with me.
Oh, Well, good afternoon, Jim. I'm glad to be back in Fairbanks and always feel at home here since I graduated from high school here in 1936. Fairbanks has sure grown since then. It's nice to meet the old-timers that are still around.
Johnny, tell us a little bit about your background. Where were you born, and were you born in Alaska, Johnny?
Yes, I was born over at Flat. And when I mention Flat to a lot of people today, they just laugh. But when I say 8 miles from Iditarod, east of Iditarod, why, they know exactly where I'm from. I'm one of seven children of the Peter Miskovich family at Flat, and lived there all my life, going on 71 years now.
71 years. Now, tell us a little bit about Flat in the early days, Johnny. Hey, by the way, how did Flat originate?
Well, Flat originated when the Iditarod Stampede took place, and the Iditarod Stampede was the third largest in the state of Alaska. It was Fairbanks, Nome, and then Iditarod. And Flat being 8 miles from the river terminal point at Iditarod, became the central area for servicing all the mines in the area of Flat, which go out 15, 16 miles from Flat to the south and to the north and east. And so Flat got its name from Flat Creek, which comes into Otter Creek right at the town of Flat. It's not flat by any means, because it's surrounded by fairly high mountains, and it's just a valley that's about 20 miles long, running into the Iditarod River, and about a mile wide.
What was the town of, or no, I think Flat had a pretty large population in the early days, didn't it?
Yes, Flat had a population of around the entire area there, Iditarod, Flat, and the mining camps. There's conflicting reports, but I think around 5,000 or 6,000 would be a good number to use, because they were migrating in and out as the stampede took place. And so there wasn't a fixed population there, because they were coming and going.
You know, I heard that it was on Christmas Day that they made the discovery up there in on the Iditarod. Wasn't that 1908, was that right?
Well, the discovery of gold was on the discovery claim, which is about 3 miles east of the town of Flat, by John Beaton on Christmas Day, and on December, Christmas Day, of course, being December 1908. And he was very fortunate to be able to pan some gravel, which was exposed along the Otter Creek, which runs through the valley, and he found this rich pay, him and a fellow by the name of Frank Dykeman, who was his partner.
Johnny, I want to take a break here, but first I want to tell the folks that are listening to us, I'm here in the studio with Johnny Miskovich from Flat, Alaska, and if you'd like to talk to Johnny, you'd like to give us a call here, talk a little bit about gold mining in Alaska, I'm sure Johnny could give you a lot of answers. And the number here is 479-8255. That's 479-TALK. By the way, Robbie at Tip Top Chevrolet may seem like an easygoing guy, but when he saw the all-new 1988 Chevrolet pickups, he really went overboard. He couldn't stop himself from stocking up on so many models. He's positive that if you can't find exactly what you want in a truck at Tip Top, it just doesn't exist. Why did a normally sane fellow like Robbie go so out of control? Well, you'll just have to take a look at the all-new 1988 full-size pickups at Tip Top and see for yourself. Maybe it was the all-new sturdier-than-ever boxed front frame, or the new aerodynamic styling with smooth lines and rounded contours to reduce wind drag. Or perhaps it was the high-tech computer-engineered efficiency for all types of payloads. How about the large, easy-access doors, eight-layered finish, the all-welded box, or the big, comfortable cab? Who wouldn't flip over the new extended cab pickup that seats up to six people? You like four-wheel drive? Robbie's got the 4x4 Chevy with shift-on-the-fly power to all four wheels instantly. But as much as Robbie loves all his new Chevrolet pickups, he just can't use them all himself. So he's doing the only sane thing. He's selling them to anyone who can come up with an offer that can stand up to the light of day. So come in today to Tip Top Chevrolet and see all the models Robbie has to show you, from the economical Cheyenne to the bold new Scottsdale and the top-of-the-line Silverado, plus more. Pick your pickup and chassis cab to suit your needs. You won't find a better selection anywhere than you find at Tip Top Chevrolet. You'll see for yourself what got Robbie so excited when you look at the wide variety of all-new 1988 Chevrolet pickups. Stop by Tip Top Chevrolet today for the best deals on the best new pickups around. That's Tip Top Chevrolet at 1916 Cushman, 1916 Cushman, or give them a call at 452-8211. And a note from my friends, Robert, Charlene, and James Johnson own and operate a family business here in Fairbanks called Arctic Springs at 285 Alta Way. They started manufacturing leaf springs and U-bolts for all sizes and types of vehicles and heavy equipment several years ago. Because of their interest in developing a leaf spring manufacturing plant in Fairbanks, they became one of the first businesses to be awarded the use of the Made in Alaska logo for businesses using Alaskan products and labor. To give you an example of what they can do over there on Alta Way in their 6,000 square foot manufacturing plant, listen to this. They manufacture and recondition springs for snow machines, cars, trucks, heavy equipment, and get this, folks, even aircraft. Springs can be re-arched and U-bolts cold bent to your specifications, and they can raise and lower your vehicle. Arctic Springs handle both standard and custom-made coil springs. In addition, look at some of the other items they stock. A complete line of steel, brass, rubber, and Teflon bushings. Torsion bar axles for auto trailers, snow machine trailers, and weasels. Finally, folks, they build trailers to your specifications, so bring in your blueprints or sketch. In addition, they have two huge 30-inch by 8-foot heat treatment ovens, which can accommodate just about any material that needs heat treating. That's Bob, Charlene, and James Johnson at Arctic Springs. 285 Alta Way. Give them a call at 451-8612. Johnny, tell us a little bit more about Flat and being raised in the Flat area in the early days.
Well, Flat in the early days was a community of, as I said, during the early stampede, several thousand people, and then it dwindled down to a few hundred there when World War One came along. Of course, it took a lot of the men out of Flat, and when the war was over, well, it never did revive like it was before the war. And then when the tractor and bulldozer came into being in 1934, my father shipped the first Caterpillar tractor into Flat at that time with a dozer. And that started the movement on to more tractors, and it revived again because of the machinery and the price of gold going up to $35 an ounce. And then, of course, World War II came along, and that shut Flat down again. But during the early years, Flat was a very active community. It had all the facilities of a city. Iditarod was incorporated. It had three newspapers. It had a bank, several stores. There was, I think, about 15 or 16 saloons operating. And the dog teams were bringing the mail in, of course, from Seward and Anchorage, and then later from Nenana down to McGrath, and then over to Flat. So we enjoyed life during those early days, and I moved out of Flat for the first time, having to go to high school here in Fairbanks in 1931. And that was the first time that I was able to see a moving picture show.
Is that right? They didn't have anything like that in Flat?
No, they had a lot of things moving, but they didn't have a moving picture show.
And tell us about what was Fairbanks like when you came in to go to school, John?
Well, when I came out of Flat the first time, my brother George and I were flown to Anchorage in a Fairchild 71 well, we went there actually in a ship called the New Standard by Bob Ellis. He was flying it, later Ellis Airlines out of Ketchikan. And then we came to Fairbanks on a Fairchild 71 on floats. And we landed up here by the Busby Ranch, which is now Ladd Field. And when I looked at Anchorage, it had about 2,500 people. It looked like New York City. And when I saw Fairbanks built along the winding Chena Slough, my gosh, I thought, what a large place I'm going to move to.
Tell me, was there pavement on the streets at that time, Johnny?
No, there wasn't. And Fairbanks was a pretty dusty place during the dry weather. There was Weeks Field, of course, operating here in Fairbanks as the airport. And the railroad, of course, was a big event going to and from Seward. And, of course, the Trail to Valdez was open. But Fairbanks was a real fine community, and I enjoyed those early years a great deal.
They were dredging here in the Fairbanks area when you came into the high school. Were they at that time, John?
Yes, the FB company had already started, and they were dredging at Chattanooga. I remember going out there for the first time to see the big dredge with a fellow by the name of Leonard Welzine. His father was working on the dredge, and that was quite an exciting trip to see those big monsters churning away.
Did you ever have an opportunity to work on any of the dredges?
No, I never did work in the Fairbanks area because we would go back to Flat every spring. And when school was out, and sometimes before school was out, Noel Ween would fly us back to Flat. And we would take off from Fairbanks, making the 400 miles nonstop, because there wasn't any airports in between. McGrath had a small airport that was usually flooded in the spring. So Noel would look at the weather to the southwest, and when he felt he could go and come back, why, we would take off.
Oh, I see. So for the 4 years that you attended, you did attend school here for 4 years, is that right, John?
That is correct.
Was that at the Main Street School? Was that the structure that was here, or was there another school at that time?
Well, when we came up here, it was a big wooden schoolhouse, and I think there was about 125 students in the Fairbanks High School. And that building burned down during the course of my high school here, and we thought high school was going to be over for a while, but then we were put in the Eagles Hall and in the Presbyterian Church, and we carried on somehow.
Just how did that school burn down?
Well, I really don't remember the particulars on that, but I think it was in the basement where they had the boilers for the heating plant.
Mm-hmm. During that period of time, a lot of the structures in and around Fairbanks, say from 1930 up until the 50s, had a problem with fires, if I recall.
Well, they did, because they were burning wood and coal, of course, and stovepipe fires were quite common. And, of course, the fire service was limited at that time. They had a good fire department, but there were problems during the 60, 70 below weather like we had during those years in the winter months.
Now, what I want to do, Johnny, is I want to talk a little bit about what you did after you finished high school in Fairbanks, right after a couple of messages here. The question has often come up, where do the miners sell their gold? Everyone knows they sell it to the precious metals people, Oxford Assaying and Refining, located at 208 Wendell Street. In addition, Oxford also has some fascinating precious metal and gift ideas. Also, they have some investment ideas. These include sending gifts of silver. Listen to this, folks. The silver Alaska coin and the Oxford Alaska bar. These 1 ounce pure silver pieces are a unique way to share Alaska with friends and family for under $10 each. And here's a super idea. 1 ounce pure silver rounds priced at 95 cents over the daily quote. And you know how to get the daily quote. Well, you simply phone Oxford's daily quote line at 452-7858. You ought to jot that number down. You never know when it might be worth something as a prize right here on Alaska Gold Trails. The 1987 American Gold Eagles are now available with four sizes to choose from, starting at $65 for the 1/10 ounce coin. Add a 14 karat gold bezel with a chain and you have the perfect gift for that someone special. Gold coins and ingots from around the world, available in all sizes starting at $25 a piece. And don't forget, genuine Alaskan gold nuggets are truly the Alaskan gift. Stop by and view their fine selection starting at just $28.50 a penny weight. Give gifts of lasting value that will long be remembered. Give gold and silver, now available from your precious metal people, Oxford Assaying and Refining. Located at 208 Wendell Street, 456-3967 for information. Now, how about a message from Gabe's Truck and Auto? Whether it's an auto, light truck, motorhome, or big rig, for the best service in town, it's Gabe's Truck and Auto Repair, and that's not just my opinion, folks. Last year, as a matter of fact, the Fairbanks Chamber of Commerce gave Gabe's Truck and Auto their prestigious Raven About Fairbanks Award for providing the best vehicle service in Fairbanks. Gabe's has two large shops and eight mechanics on hand to serve you. With that much attention, you will get fast, courteous service and have your vehicle back in a hurry. In addition to engine and general vehicle maintenance, Gabe's can also repair automatic transmissions, realign front ends, and repair, mount, and balance tires. New and rebuilt engines come with a 12-month or 12,000-mile warranty. As you can see, Gabe's is a one-stop service center. And if you need an IM inspection, to the end of this month, I understand, Gabe's has a reduced price, $25. And they also have Gabe's no pass, no pay policy. That's right, folks. If you don't pass, you don't pay at Gabe's. Gabe's also has a special deal for you folks who are getting ready or for winter. If you get an oil change, filter and lube, or a tune-up at Gabe's, you'll also get a free winterization inspection. This 30-minute inspection covers such items as heater, antifreeze, check gearboxes, inspect fan belts, battery, and all fluid levels. And don't forget Gabe's towing service. He has three wreckers available 24 hours a day and can handle any size rig. Getting a tow is as easy as calling 456-6156. And you might want to write that number down and put it in your glove box for future reference. You can turn your rag into a ride at Gabe's Truck and Auto, located off Van Horn Road near Metro Field, or give them a call at 456-6156. We're here, folks, with Johnny Miskovich, a well-known miner from the Flat area. And if you have some questions of Johnny, why don't you give us a call? The number is 479-8255. That's 479 if you want to talk. Johnny, tell us what you did following your experiences at high school here in Fairbanks. Tell us what kind of activities you entered into out there at Flat.
Well, when I left high school here in Fairbanks, my father and mother had been at Flat for 25 years, and pickings were pretty slim until he got the first tractor and bulldozer, and that year he had a very good cleanup, so he decided he would make a trip to the big outside again after not having been out there since 1910 when he came in with my mother, and my older brother George was out there with him. And it was during the Christmas break at school, and my father wrote me a letter how exciting it was to see big Seattle after all these years, and it made me get itchy feet too. Weather was about 50 below in Fairbanks, and I didn't like school too well anyway, so I got on the train and went down to Seward and got on Alaska steamship and joined my father and mother and brother in Seattle.
Well, that was a great trip. Tell us about that Alaska steamship. Was that a steamship company that was running back and forth between Seward and Seattle? Is that it?
Well, yes. The Alaska Steamship Company and the trips on those boats were probably the most memorable days that I can remember, because we had 6 or 7 days together with a bunch of people we knew, and we would stop at all the ports because they would be loading fish and unloading supplies, and we really had a great time, except possibly for a rough trip across the Gulf when everybody was feeding the fish.
Is that what you call it, John, feeding the fish? Okay, tell us about your experiences and what the outside looked to you looked like to you during that first experience.
Well, for a young boy, as I was, going to Seattle for the first time and looking at all those tall buildings and then going up the elevator to the top of the Smith Tower and looking down at all the buildings, it was quite an experience. And, of course, the clanking streetcars. It was during the holiday season. There was thousands of people on the streets. And believe me, it's quite a shocking experience for someone coming out of flat.
So it was a social shock. John, following that period of time, did you enter into mining?
Well, I was in mining along with my father and the family at Flat and the older brother. And when the tractor, of course, did such a good job, my father wanted more machinery, and we started looking at backhoes. So we had a lot of hard bedrock to dig at Flat, and my father felt a backhoe would do a better job than a drag line, which everybody was shipping in at that time. So we shipped the first yard and a half P&H backhoe from Harnischweger in Milwaukee to Flat. And that was the only backhoe really in the Northwest States and the only one in Alaska.
And it proved to be more efficient than the drag line then, or at least for your application.
Yes, then the backhoe increased our production further, and we began to take out a lot more money, and there was a lot of other properties in Alaska that prospectors had gold nuggets in their pockets from, and my father always felt, well, he made it in Alaska, he'll spend it in Alaska. So we then branched out in the Manly Hot Springs area on Amiga Creek. We were in the Circle District on Butte Creek, right off of Birch Creek. And then we later moved into Fairbanks Creek in partnership with the Sathers. And we were up in the Good Pasture District with John Hajdukovic. And then we also went down into the Good News Bay area on Water Moose Creek. So plus going into the Ruby area on Poor Man and Flat Creek. So we really were quite an extended family operation.
You mentioned early in the show, John, that you had a number of brothers and sisters. Did they also, were they also heavily involved in mining in Alaska?
Yes, they were. The Miskovich family at Flat was a family operation for many years before we moved out of there. And in 1940, we had, there was four boys and three girls in the family. We formed what was called Pete Miskovich and Sons, which the four brothers and the father were involved in, and we operated as a partnership for many years under that name. We later bought Otter Dredging Company at Flat, 3.5 cubic foot dredge, which we ran for a number of years. And so we were quite extended in the state of Alaska in the gold mining business.
Tell us a little more about Otter Dredging Company, that 3.5 foot bucket. How much gravel would a bucket line dredge like that with a 3.5 foot bucket process in a single day, in a 24-hour period, John? Can you give us an idea?
Well, that was a wooden hull construction shipped to Flat from Nome, where it had gone in on a property that failed. And there was a promoter by the name of George Riley who shipped it into Flat and took over the claims on Flat that the drift miners had. And by the way, George Riley was shot at Flat by a crew member that he had who wasn't paid for the wood that he cut. The fellow that shot him was hung in Fairbanks here behind the old wooden courthouse that they had, and that was a good lesson for promoters. Of course, it was a tragedy, but it was certainly certainly one that stopped promoting. And so he put the dredge in at Flat, and after he was shot in 1918, the dredge went into limbo and operated as an estate there for 25 years. The dredge could handle about 2,500 cubic yards in 24 hours and could dig about 18 feet below the water level. And it was quite an efficient plant for a wooden hull. It couldn't dig the hard bedrock that Flat had in the valley, but it did quite well during those years.
Well, John, I'd like to have you talk a little bit about the hydraulic monitors that you developed and used more recently in just a few minutes, and we'll be right back with that. B&L Pond at the corner of Gaffney and Cushman is the most unpredictable variety store in Fairbanks. Now, folks, that's an understatement. It's more like having a giant garage sale in one room. One-stop shopping will get you everything. Just to give you an idea, let me list a few of the items. Jewelry, clocks, stereos, headphones, guns, scopes, winches, propane bottles, tools, hats, musical instruments, cameras, TVs, radios, typewriters, and the list goes on and on and on. In fact, you can get anything at B&L Pond. B&L traditionally has offered tremendous savings, but in addition, if you tell Killer you heard it on KFAR, she'll even sweeten the deal. And if you tell her you heard it from Jim on Alaska Gold Trails, she'll even sweeten it more. If your money is a little tight, they'll be happy to help you out. Bring anything you feel is of value or use, and the folks at B&L will loan you the money to get through to better days. Or if you sell items on consignment, they'll work with you on that too. So if you're looking for anything from snowshoes to diamond rings, see the folks at B&L Pond, 605 Gaffney. Jim, Bruce, and Killer will be happy to deal. Killer never says no. They'll sell anything but the chandelier, and only then because it's attached. However, ask Killer, you just never know. That's B&L Pond, corner of Gaffney and Cushman. Phone 452-6491. Open 9 to 7 Monday through Friday, 9 to 5 on Saturdays, and 12 to 5 on Sundays. And remember, tell Killer you heard it here on Alaska Gold Trails, and she'll sweeten the deal. Hardworking miners need hardworking equipment. You'll get the equipment and service you need at George's Saw Shop, located at 520 Church Street in the historical Rose Building, right next door to the News Miner. Space heater repairs done all types and sizes and all brands, such as Champion, Coring, Master Heater, and others. Complete line of parts in stock. Also, George's Saw Shop repairs gas and diesel generators of any size and, of course, stocks parts for them. Need parts for an engine? George's Saw Shop has a complete line of parts for Briggs & Stratton, Tecumseh, Wisconsin, Kohler, and others. George's Saw Shop also sells replacement engines for all of the above. Chainsaws? George says, we sell the best and service the rest. That's George's Saw Shop. Get a Husqvarna, Solo, or Poulin. Chainsaw service? You bet. Bring in your chainsaw for a tune-up and cleaning, complete repair, and or sharpening of the chain. George's Saw Shop services and carries parts for all brands. For top quality service and equipment, visit the business you can depend on. Visit George's Saw Shop on Illinois Street, next door to the News Miner, in the beautiful historic Rose Building. Open 8:30 to 5:30 Monday through Friday and 9 to 1 on Saturday. Do you have questions? Just call 452-2069 and ask for George or his lovely wife and partner, Barbara. That's 452-2069. Alaskan Prospectors has now a new supply of crystals and minerals from around the world. Also, they have a new supply of recreational gold mining equipment, including pans, sluices, suction dredges, and other types of gold extraction devices. They also have on hand the Garrett metal detectors. Also, other styles of concentrators, and of course, for the rock hound, rock saws, and polishers. Alaskan Prospectors, located at 504 College Road, phone 452-7398, and ask for Leah. Johnny, give us a little background on this Misco giant that I've heard so much about over the years. You know, I got to bring a little personal experience into this. I've been attending conferences in Alaska for, probably this is the conference that's occurring right now is the 10th annual conference on Alaska placer mining. And that's where I first saw Johnny Miskovich a number of years ago when he gave his presentation on the Misco giant. And I still remember the major portion of that presentation. And somebody else said, you can always tell the effectiveness of a talk when, or its value of the presentation is based on how much the listener can tell his wife about it the next morning at breakfast. And I'll tell you, Johnny, I can still remember some of the points that you made about the Misco giant, and I'm going to let you tell us about your experiences and how it came about that you developed the Misco giant for hydraulic monitoring.
Well, Jim, that is a very long story, but I'll shorten it up within the time frame that we have. In Alaska, before the advent of the tractor and bulldozer and all the other heavy equipment that you see today, all mining and material was moved with water, and it was called a hydraulic giant. And it was a very cumbersome, very heavy, and hard to operate tool. And so, as a boy working the monitor at Platt during my early years, 10 hours a day, and as the rest of our family did, I always felt there ought to be a better way. My father was a very innovative man. He came from Yugoslavia without an education, but educated himself here in the United States. And so, having probably rubbed off a little of what he had, I began to think about improving what is called the hydraulic giant. Now, when I started in, back before the war in 1939, there were many people in the Fairbanks area, the old-timers, who had jobs as hydraulic monitor operators. And when I was talking about developing a fully automatic, water-controlled giant, they looked at me and would look at each other and walk away. And that was a response I got in those early years. However, I went into the Army for 4 years or a little better, and when I got back out, I immediately started improving the design of the hydraulic giant, because we took on a property down in the Ruby area that had about 60 feet of overburden. And it was necessary to cut our costs down, reduce our crew in order to make a profit. And at that time, I promoted the property and put all the money that my father would give us boys, and it was necessary to do something in order to stay in business. So I went to the States, and I was in contact with some very good drafting engineers out there, and we started working on what became known as the IntelliGiant, which got its name from a giant with intelligence. Now, this was a fully automatic preset pattern control, which has now gained international fame, and from there, of course, it's a very long and interesting story where it became involved in firefighting, the missile program, the Vietnam War, and many, many other industrial applications that I can't even begin to tell you about.
So it started out as a gold mining device and ended up having application in a wide field. And so now they're currently on the market. Isn't that correct, Johnny?
That is correct. I had patents on the IntelliGiant for 17 years, and they expired in 1969. So after they expired, of course, the patent became public domain, and now every fire company in the United States and in Europe, England, over in China, Japan, Russia, they're all building the same design and using it in their mining operations, and the use is on the increase, tremendous increase.
I want to get back in just a minute, Johnny, and talk about your mining operations here in Alaska. And right now, let's take a look at K&K Recycling. K&K Recycling at 8.5 mile on the old Richardson Highway is the leader in recycling in the Pacific Northwest. Bernie Carl of K&K is a former miner and believes that our natural resources must be preserved. Bernie has appeared in many schools throughout the area to explain the value to school children on the benefits of conservation and recycling. So if you have ferrous or non-ferrous metals, K&K is ready to buy and pays cash on the spot. Come visit K&K Recycling at 8.5 mile on the old Richardson Highway and learn more about recycling. Call for daily quotes. K&K Recycling, once again, is located at 8.5 mile old Richardson Highway. Their number, once again, is 488-1409. They're open 8 to 5:30 Monday through Saturday. And folks, if you have some junk, metallic junk in your backyard, you want to get rid of it, you want to turn it into cash, take it over to K&K. Their phone number, once again, is 488-1409.
It's income tax time again. And if you need help, listen to Tax Facts right here on KFAR Radio at 7:55 a.m. Monday through Friday. That's Tax Facts, brought to you by Freeman & Associates. Call 456-4361.
Hector's Welding, located at 13 Mile Richardson Highway, has been serving Alaska for 40 years. Their 14,400 square foot shop is capable of handling the most demanding work quickly and efficiently. Listen to this list of services. They can replace dozer blade liners. They also rebuild loader buckets and ripper shanks. They do heavy equipment repairs and modifications. And folks, you know, mining equipment fabrication is their specialty, including sluice boxes, conveyors, feeders, grizzlies, and screening plants. They also fabricate specialized ripples and punch plate. They have portable welding units for fast, on-site repairs. Hector's fully equipped fabrication shop is ready to serve you. Bring out your ideas and blueprints. It's a well-known fact that anywhere in the interior where the big jobs are done, men in the field depend on Hector's for proven, rapid, reliable work. Rush jobs are no problem. Remember, Hector's Welding has been getting the job done and done right for 40 years. And now, an all-new service, Flocculence. Hector's is the gel log distributor. There's a free test kit available. All you plaster miners have to do is stop out and pick it up. Remember, it's free. Wherever Alaska miners are working, Hector's is the first name in gold recovery equipment. Located at 13 Mile Richardson Highway. Phone 488-6432. Johnny, tell us a little bit more about your experiences. I understand that you're now mining out in, once again, in the flat area. Is that correct?
That is correct, Jim. The placers of Otter Valley have been pretty well mined out, but the head of the placer deposit, there's a deposit known as the Golden Horn, and it's a lode structure. I bought the Golden Horn from Bob Lyman in 1969 and have been developing it as a hard rock and residual lode property, and it looks very encouraging. The Doyen Native Corporation have selected four townships in the area, and we're in the Northeast Township. So we're hoping that this work that I'm doing is going to lead into becoming one of the large, or if not the largest, open pit mining operations in the state of Alaska. We have a lot of very important minerals there besides gold and silver, and that is what we need more of here in Alaska, so that we can employ people and develop a little income to the state treasury, which is badly needed at this time.
Johnny, there's an activity going on in Fairbanks this week called the 10th Annual conference on Alaska placer mining. You recently gave a paper at that conference covering the Golden Horn. Is that correct?
That is correct. I presented this paper as a follow-up on what Tom Bunsen of the USGS has been writing about, as well as other people that have been in the area. And so I will continue doing that so I can keep an update on what I'm doing over there at Platt, and I'll be going back in there about April the 20th.
John, I want to give the folks out there an idea of what's going on, and I think we've got a phone call here in just a minute. We'll get to it. Of course, Saturday, tomorrow, they will be having the agency session with top speakers from all the agencies to give information and answer questions regarding placer mining. Now, in addition to that, I'd also like to point out that the University of Alaska Mining Extension is still taking enrollment for the rock and mineral identification class and the basic prospecting class. And if you'd like to have more information on that, there's 4 seats open. You can phone 474-7702 for that rock and mineral identification class, or 456-2569. So give them a call. And right now, John, I think you've got a call. Let's see what we've got here.
Lock deaf people away in institutions.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes. We got how many people we got?
Well, we've got an override with the radio, and I don't know quite how to get rid of that.
Let me call back.
I don't think we're going to correct it. Why don't you just go ahead and we'll.
Well, I had a question for Mr. Miskovich. I've certainly enjoyed the program today. It's been real interesting.
Well, thank you.
And he just reminded me of something talking about flat.
Okay.
I've lost track of some old friends of mine, Carl Lotzfeldt, rather his son Buzz. Could you shed any light on that?
Yes, Carl passed away in Anchorage some years ago, and I believe Buzz is in the Anchorage area.
Buzz is in the Anchorage area. Well, wonderful. I'm glad to hear that, and I sure do appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thanks for the call, sir. I don't know what's going on with the radio shooting through the line there, Johnny. I guess one of those electrical problems. Well, we were discussing the Placer conference here, and I just one quick question. What do you think of the conference this year? Do you think it does what it intended to do, and that's a little something for everybody?
Well, I've certainly enjoyed the conference. I flew up from Los Angeles to attend it the day before yesterday. And I hope this conference will pass a message on to Governor Cooper that he should take a greater interest in the problems that the miner has, and get his staff and these legislators and the people in Juneau on track there to see if we can't help them out a little bit more.
Johnny, we got another call. We'll try it. One quick minute.
It's been around for about 30 years.
Do you have a question for Johnny Miskovich? Hello?
Hello?
Hello, you're on the air. You have a question for Johnny? We got a bit of a bleed through from the radio, but go ahead.
Author Jack Gannon, in his book titled Deaf Heritage, writes about the attempts of oralists to suppress the use of manual communication.
Yes, hello.
This is your nephew Andy, and I'm just calling up to say hello. It's been nice hearing you on the radio there.
Well, Andy, I'm glad to have you call in, and sorry to see that your father had to make a trip out during this conference.
Yes.
Children had their hands.
But we'll be continuing that place of mining. I'm looking forward to mining these myself. This is your first
one. Keep them from going astray and forming signs.
I hope to get together with you before you leave town.
Yes, come over at the conference or the Westmark.
All right, Johnny. I just called to say hello.
Thanks for the call. Folks, that's all the time we got. That's all the time we've got. One point I'd like to make, it's you're going to hear about the Placer Mining Conference on the front page of the Daily News Miner today, and an article by Fred Pratt. And I just want to thank Johnny Miskovich for being my guest here today on Alaska Gold Trails. Johnny, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you, Jim. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
folks. This is Jim Madonna on KFAR 660 on your radio dial. You're listening to Alaska Gold Trails. Next week's guest will be, guess who? Joe Vogler. So listen in. It's been fun, folks. Once again, this is Jim Madonna on Alaska Gold Trails. Until next Friday at 1 o'clock, happy prospecting.